Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
You listen to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. Joining me in the studio today are Mark Connor, Campbell Ferguson and Nathan Thomas. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and on Twitter we are at TRE Talk is good. We're moving away from issues of Brexit. We're moving away from issues of Grenfell. We are on the 4th of July. The summer season is here officially. The supermarkets all open, the stores, sales all started. But the as you can always tell in Spain when summer has officially arrived. But also, being on the Mediterranean as we are, this is the time of year that we see an increase in the number of migrants, economic and otherwise, making that perilous crossing across the Mediterranean in search of a better life, quote unquote. Italy and Spain are now the top destination for refugees crossing the Mediterranean. Numbers are large, so why the seeming lack of interest or action? What can we do to stem this flow? Migrants know that if they get into the Mediterranean rescue boats from Europe, Italy, for example, will come and pick them up. This made over the weekend the headlines in the UK tabloids as a group of migrants drowned in sight of a beach populated with British holiday makers, and it's raised the profile somewhat. But Nathan, your thoughts on this? We seem to have this every year, especially this time of year, and what can we do, if anything?
Well, it's a story that's been going on, and I guess it was about 2 years ago that if you watched 24-hour news. I mean, it was, pictures of on the boats, pictures of coming, going. That was the major story that summer. And everybody acts now as if, well, that was interesting and it's all over now. But the reality is it's not over. It is still happening at pretty much the same rate. I mean, I saw stuff over the weekend. They were saying they're talking about 80,000 into Italy in the past, I think, month or something. They said the numbers have switched because of different patrols in different places, but Spain is now the top destination. And the reality is it's not that perilous a journey. They have learned at this point. They get in a boat. They get outside the Moroccan waters or whichever country they're leaving from into international waters, that basically they will be picked up by a ship from one of the EU countries. And they will be brought to the EU, which is exactly what they wanted.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things we've got to actually really address more than anything else is the fact that in your introduction there, you used the words migrants, economic or otherwise, and also used the word refugees. There's a massive difference, and this is the crux of the thing. It is actually trying to figure out who we should be helping and who we should be doing the Australian thing and saying, turn your boat round and take it away, or go over there, and don't come here, refugees, absolutely no problem whatsoever if it can be proved they are. But that is where we, as we well know, especially over the last 18 months, 2 years, we have had a massive problem with refugee children aged 26 and up, and all happen to be healthy males. It's very, very strange, that.
Well, a lot of them are, but if you, and I've been, in a lot of situations with refugees, and a lot of legitimate refugees coming from a war zone, coming from a whatever, are 26-year-old males, because those are the ones who survive.
Yeah, actually, I was being a bit flippant.
No, perhaps I know, but
What I'm saying is, as far as the European coastline, if you like, down from Portugal all the way through Italy and whatever, we are extremely close to the African continent, and it is not, as you say, it's not that difficult to get across. Even if you don't get picked up, if you have a sturdy enough boat, then you're going to make it across one way or another. What can we do about it? That one, you can land a boat anywhere on this coast. And it doesn't have to come into a port, obviously. And it's I don't know the answer to the question. It's simple.
It's, you've got to stop at its source. And that is you stop all wars and you stop all economic problems in other countries. That's the only way to do it, which obviously just isn't going to happen.
I mean, and we'll have world peace too.
And I'll be the beauty queen or whatever it is.
Yeah. Indeed. But the thing, I mean, one of the things we're looking at here is the fact that a lot of the route has been, seems to have been from sub-Saharan Africa up through, across the Sahara, a perilous journey via Mali, which France has got involved in again with the announcements yesterday, to Libya, which to be described as lawless at the moment, I think would be a fair description, and then on to Italy, the nearest port of call.
So effectively, actually the Mediterranean is the easy bit.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. But with but if Italy clamps down as it says it's going to do, then we reopen that crossing from North Africa, Morocco, over into mainland Spain. Kate Upton famously wrote or said and created an uproar by saying that she would quite happily machine gun the boats coming across. But we talked about a fortress Europe perhaps 10 years ago, because we've had this migrant crisis has been going on for years and years and years. You have to perhaps balance the humanitarian aspect with it, with seeing boats put out to sea, crowded with refugees that shouldn't be going across there against the political concerns.
In order for somebody to actually get to the point in their lives where, and this does not sound like me speaking, but in order for somebody to get to that point in their lives where they're willing to take the risk of getting on board a ramshackle raft with 50 other people, with the very strong possibility they're going to get killed, there must be something driving them to make them do that. Yes, these people. It's such an emotive subject because yes, we want to help them, but can we? Is there anything? I mean, it's not Brexit, but it's like the border issue that we're having. excuse me, with Ireland at the moment. Are they going to have a closed border? Of course, they're going to have a closed border. They have to have. And I think the problem is with everybody in the, you get it at source, like stop all wars and all the rest of it, fine. But we have to have some form of proper border control here. And I'm not saying shut the door so that nobody can come in. What I'm saying is we have to have proper border control that we can then vet people coming in and say, yes, you can, or no, you can't. And I know what you're going to say, Nathan, it's going to be a massive thing to do, but it's the only way that I can think of that something can be done.
I agree with you completely.
Never happened before.
Oh, yeah. No, but yes, there is now, and this is the interesting thing is this is what the UK is fighting for so much is border. We want to control our own borders. Well, the EU, there is a closed border all around the EU. Yeah. There is no question about that. It is not an open border. It's a closed border. And you either enforce it or you don't. Now, the one way you enforce it, which nobody wants to do, is fine. They come in whether they're rescued off a boat, whether they're boat, But if you have them in your control, and especially if you pick them up at sea, you do, you then put them in a refugee camp.
Yep.
In the EU, yep. Which, oh, no, we're not going to have refugee camps in my country. We're not going to do that. Oh, no. Well, the other choice, and it's a simple choice, you either lock them up, which will deter some of them if they know they're going to get locked up, and it will give you the chance to do as much vetting as possible and decide what is going to happen to these people, or you just do what has been done and what is continued to be doing is when they get to Europe, they fine. You write their name down on a card or something, give them
and you let them go,
and they wander all through Europe. And if you say, well, we're going to be out of, the UK is going to be out of Europe, it won't be our problem. Oh, sure it will.
Oh, of course it will.
Because
it's not going to stop them coming in.
All you've got is the channel up there, and you are seeing more and more people crossing the channel now, yeah. And little boats ending up, you wake up in the morning, look out on the beach. Gee, there's an abandoned boat there. I wonder what that is. Mm. Take a guess.
Yeah.
And the more that come into Europe and move up, the more that are going to be on their way to the UK.
I think one thing you could actually do, there's an awful lot of, like you said, the economic migrants that are coming over and whatever, then one thing that is a possibility, which again, no government really wants to do because then they're the bad guy, is quite simply stop benefits for anybody who isn't a citizen of the country or hasn't been there for X amount of time. You know,
and then they starve on the street.
But the thing is, it will stop them coming in.
Going back to source, many of these economic migrants, these individuals are the ones chosen by their village or chosen by their family. We reckon that you can make it, and if you go across there, you're going to be able to make enough money to be able to send money back to us, and therefore we will be able to live a better life back there. So the whole family, the whole village, everything that depends on this one guy or group of guys that set off across the Sahara Desert. How many of them actually reach Europe, actually get here, start making money legally or otherwise, and then send it back by Western Union or whatever? That's, we don't know. But would it not be simpler, and it's the way to stop it, if the EU said, right, these guys are sending across, 100 euros a week, something like that. We'll send across 100 euros a week to this country, to this family, and just keep your guy there and use it and invest in that individual to create his business, to create something within his own place and build the economy. It's very ideal, but it's something like that is going to have to happen.
Who pays that?
We're paying money at the moment.
Who pays for it? I mean, bottom line is quite straightforward.
Well, taxpayer would pay.
Exactly. I'm not going to do that. I don't want that.
100 euros is one thing. 100 euros times the 100, 200, 250,000 who are coming across. And, give my family 100 euros too. You're talking some serious.
And also, we must.
That's right. But how are you going to stop it?
You don't stop a thing by throwing money at it. That's been proved time and time and time again.
No. Well, you're not throwing money at it.
Of course, that's exactly what you're
saying. No, you're investing it. You're teaching.
Investing
the man,
in
you're
what?
Teaching the man how to fish.
No, in order to invest in something, if you're investing in something, you're doing something that's going to help yourself. Now that's fair enough. Now the bottom line is yes, give the man a fish and he'll eat, and give him a fish and rod and he'll feed his family.
Right.
I get that, but the bottom line is this. We aren't, personally, from a personal point of view, I'm not, and this is not the view of Thierry or anybody else. This is my view. No. End of. If you've got a problem, get yourself a bucket, get yourself a ladder, go clean windows. There is no reason for anybody to be handing money out to any of these people for what? To stop them coming into the country.
You would go there and you would invest. You would create the business. You would create something with these people. You look at it, you judge them. You put money into companies that can invest to individuals that would go and assist them and create the smaller businesses that then would grow.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, John. I'm sorry to ring a third time.
Jason.
But today on policy. Yeah. Immigrants, it's a symptom, isn't it, of the problem. The problem is simple and very clear, and the solution infinitely complex. The problem is, to quote somebody else, is man's blind indifference to his fellow man, the world over, the way the world functions. And unless this changes, we'll always be dealing with the symptoms. So the problem is one of the world as a whole, humanity, the way the world functions.
Okay. Thank you very much for that call. Campbell,
I'm just saying, we all in the studio here, Mark and Giles and myself, I don't know about Nathan, but we're all economic migrants. We've come here. We're making money here.
We're spending money here.
We're not sending it back to granny in Scotland or whatever, but we are economic migrants.
I agree with you about economic migrants, but there's a massive difference. I didn't take a cent from anybody to come here. I came here on my own back with my money in my pocket to put my business together here in Spain. These people are coming across here with nothing and expecting handouts. I'm sorry, that's a massive difference.
That I don't don't agree with. I'm quite certain they are not getting handouts within Spain. They are having to work at it. They're the looky-looky men. They're whatever, doing all these sorts of things. So they are working on it. It's been looked upon in the UK, my understanding. They've judged the migrants, the people that come in, are contributing hugely to the economy, much more than...
No, I don't disagree with people coming into any country. Listen, listen, please get this absolutely right. I'm not saying don't come in if you've got something to give. What I'm saying is don't come over here or anywhere else expecting to get it for nothing. And that's what the problem. That's where the problem lies. We're talking about the closed door policy in the United Kingdom. Yeah, fair enough. But what I'm saying in that is, yes, close the borders, but vet people. And if people are coming in that can contribute, our professional people are bringing something with them, fine. Yes, open heart, open hands, open heart. No problem whatsoever. I'm sorry, people coming in... No.
We've got callers on the line, as I thought we might do. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Well, good morning, Ian. And I've just listened to the guy saying, well, give these people a bucket and a brush and then go and clean or do whatever. But we've got 25% unemployed in Spain. What's going to happen to them?
Sorry, just say that point again. Sorry.
There's 25%.
What's going to happen to 25% of unemployed people in Spain?
Yeah. We've got 25% unemployed. Yeah, I get exactly where you're coming from, and that's my point. That is exactly my point. If anybody's coming in, they shouldn't be getting handouts. People in, it's the same in Spain, in Italy, in Ireland, in the United Kingdom. The people that are indigenous to that country, the citizens of those countries, yes, they are in an unemployment situation that they should be getting off their backsides and working. But if they're too bone idle or are not willing to turn around and get a job, then hell mend them.
Well, Nathan.
The problem is there are too many people and not enough jobs. A lot of these people who are coming over legally, illegally, whatever, they want to work. But they can't find a job because the jobs aren't there, which is not their fault. It's just the reality.
Can I point something out here, right? We all live here, right? We all live here. I've been living here 10 years, and I've worked in the entertainment industry for 10 years here. Every single year, there is a massive, massive influx of workers coming from all over the world, and they all work in the bars, the restaurants, and all the rest of it. You tell me for a second, we've got 25% of the unemployment for under 25s in Spain. Not one of them are working in any of those. That's very flippant. I apologize. Not many of them are working in those industries, which are taking in people every single year. Hundreds of thousands work on this coast.
Yes, they do. But more people keep coming. The jobs aren't, like you say, it's great in the summer, but then they're still there in the winter. The problem is, and this is not just Spain, it's a world problem. There is now a much larger labor force than there are jobs that need those people.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. Thanks for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. Hans from Denia.
Good morning, Hans.
The guy in the studio, not Campbell, the other one, the righty.
Otherwise known as Mark, yes.
Okay. What was he working in? Doesn't he think he takes the job away from a Spaniard?
No, I don't, actually, because I open my own business here.
Well, I also have my own business here, but in my business I'm doing a job which a Spaniard also could do. So I'm an economic migrant.
Right, okay, first of all, yes, I started my own business here, and I employ Spanish people, so what's your point?
What's your point? I don't understand your point. I mean, I understand some points of immigration, but on the other hand, you're saying that we all, well, I'm Austrian, I'm a EU citizen. You probably soon will not be, because, do I understand right that you're a Brexiteer?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yes. So I don't absolutely understand why you living in an EU country, living amongst EU neighbors, like me. Well, I live on Costa Blanca, but there will be lots of us down there. And you still voted to go out from the EU, but you didn't think about to pack up and go back.
Okay, I can answer that quite simply. I absolutely love Europe. I'm a European. I don't agree with the EU. And what I want for my family and friends back in the United Kingdom is the reason why I voted to leave the EU, or I voted for the UK to leave the EU.
Yeah, but with your vote, you are doing harm to both of us. to the Brits?
No, I'm sorry. I completely disagree.
You know, all the Brexiters always say, no, 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 we are right. But to us Europeans, yes, if you vote to leave the EU, you harming the rest of the EU citizens.
I'm a European. I'm a European citizen. Yes, I am. The UK is not leaving Europe. It's leaving the EU. There's a big difference.
Come on, don't be so silly like the other Brexiteers and putting borders about geographics or politics. You're doing danger, economic danger to us.
What economic danger am I doing to you?
Yes, with the Brexit. It costs that much money for both sides and doesn't do, well, in my opinion, any good, not for you, not for us. So with your vote, you are doing harm to the rest of the EU citizens which are living around you.
Campbell's coming in here.
Yeah, Hans, I don't agree with Mark on Brexit at all, but the harm that's being done to Europe is eventually going to be good for Europe. Once again, mentioning Macron, they're going to change Europe. This is the UK leaving is going to change Europe, and it's going to hurt for a while, but it will change it and it will improve it. The big problem is that the UK is going to be outside that EU when it should have been inside and improving it from the
EU. I could not disagree more.
Because they say they want.
That's not true,
very
Hans.
Tightly, they want, and because of the want, they are right. That's Hans, what any Brexiteer around here tells me. We want, you know, like a football game. We want the bet. We don't want the second vote.
I want to come back. Hans, take a breath. I want to come back. Okay. Basically, what you're saying is all Brexiteers just keep on saying everything's going to be fine. I know that not everything is going to be fine. What I'm saying is I want what's best for my country being the United Kingdom, for my family back home. And that, if that means stopping paying constantly billions into something that we do not get all the money back on,
you don't know the benefit of it. You believe in that the UK hasn't got any benefits.
Yeah, I do actually, because of the amount of money that's spent and the amount of money that's sent back. Yes, I do.
Gentlemen, thank you for that. It's going to be back. Hans,
guys, have a good day. You'll never have a chance with the Brexiteer, with a hard one, to that he changes a little bit his mind or agrees to something.
Hans, have a great day. Good day.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
You're listening to Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown. Talk Radio Europe. It's always lively discussion show with a panel where I discuss the issues of the day as they matter to people around Europe and beyond. I think we can safely agree. Joining me in the studio, Mark Connor, Campbell Ferguson and Nathan Thomas. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe. Official, we Twitter on at TRE. Talk is good. It is the 4th of July, as I said, I'm sorry.
Independence Day for the United States, if you don't know that.
Indeed. And the President of the United States of America has been making the social media headlines again. There have been two incidents, one involving, was it against breakfast TV presenters in the US, and then an attack on CNN. Nathan, tell us a little bit more about President Trump's latest.
Well, he's, again, I think, just totally trying to distract from the lack of action that is actually taking place by the government. And he's found a wonderful way to do it, because it's much more fascinating having him tweeting about, you know, hosts on morning television and so on, which he has done. A video is out now that was made years ago when Donald Trump, as an entrepreneur, a real estate person, was dealing with the World Wrestling Association, and, you know, they staged a thing, and now the video is out, and if you watch television at all, you've probably seen it everywhere in the world, of Donald Trump attacking someone, and they have now a CNN logo over it as he continues his battle with the press. But I think to a great extent he does this because Trump, we know, wants to be in the limelight, and he is. And as far as what the government is doing, they aren't doing anything that would keep him in the limelight, because they basically aren't doing anything. The one thing that Trump has said recently that I tend to agree with, he says that tweeting in 2017 is perfectly presidential, and it is the way a president communicates with people. And I can't argue with that. It's not tweeting itself. It's what he tweets is, for me, the problem. But I think he's exactly right. Presidents from throughout history, or prime ministers or leaders of whatever country use the best way that they can to talk directly to the people. They want to talk to them. It used to be, while the fireside chats or Winston Churchill on the radio, that was as close as they could come. They used commercial media simply because commercial media was the only way to do it. It was very expensive to have a radio station, a TV station, a newspaper. Now, there's no cost.
Absolutely.
And
right.
Tweets are there. It's just what you do with those tweets.
Just as I said, you're absolutely right, because
we do agree.
If you take, I know this is weird. If you take, for example, the film Back to the Future, okay, Doc Brown realized that Ronald Reagan was the president. And he couldn't figure out why that would be. And he came up and said, of course, he has to look good on TV. That's why he's an actor. That's why they're using an actor. And this is what's happening now. Obama had a fantastic, and still does, have a fantastic YouTube channel that he does. Trump is a businessman who is using the media to his advantage. The trouble is, the media don't actually realize that yet.
We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's John Bisman again. I just like Nathan's opinion. I watch CNN, and in the last couple of months, I've been totally shocked how biased they are and how they seem to be falling for Trump's tricks. They rise to every single bait. They're, ever since they were snubbed at one of the press meetings, they've reacted like children, and particularly, this is going to sound sexist, particularly the women. I saw four women yesterday giving it hell. Now they're talking about it's been racial, that video, racial and incitement to violence and a lot of other nonsense. And most of us, I think, look upon it as quite amusing. And everything is taken so seriously. I'd like to know what Nathan's view is, but also one very quick point. The hands, the estimate is that the EU, via their, which Juncker's apologized for, in fact, that the EU is losing approximately $200 billion of revenue from the sweetheart tax deal. That's just for hands. One reason why, as your gentleman there says, European but anti-EU. But anyway, I'd like to listen into what Nathan has to say.
Nathan, thank you very much for the call in there, 952-78-4000. Nathan, your thoughts on the CNN, and are they falling for Trump's tricks?
They're not falling for them. They're using them. People have to remember the media is not a public service. Taxpayers are not paying for it. You, the listeners, the viewers, the whatever, newspapers, no, you do have to buy those usually. But radio and television, you're not the customer. What CNN is interested in is ratings. If you look at CNN's ratings, they have found that attacking Trump and being exactly what they're doing has raised their ratings tremendously. And that's what they're doing, and that's why they're doing it, because CNN is a business.
Of course, it's a business. It's the same with Fox News and all the rest of it.
Fox does the same thing.
Yeah.
They found a niche that they could financially
exactly right.
do very well, which was something no one had ever done before, which was take one side or the other, and it didn't matter which.
Yeah.
But yes, there is enough audience that we can make money being very one-sided. CNN is now adopting that plan and going in the other direction.
With Murdoch's newspapers and all the rest of it, they go one way, they go another way.
In the UK, there are so many newspapers that, yes, it's become very competitive, and you work one side or the other.
But the big problem with all this, Nathan, I think, is this, and it's a Trump statement, is this fake news thing that has all of a sudden reared its head everywhere. How does anybody know what the actual truth is anymore? Because so many stories from both sides are just plain and simple made up nonsense.
They have a judge inquiry, that's how.
You have never. Yes.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
A good British idea.
Yeah.
You don't know. You've never known. You have never known. You have either trusted the newspaper you read or the television news channel that you watched, or you didn't trust them. Mm. If people are smart, they will listen to this one, listen to that one.
If you go back far enough in the United Kingdom especially, I mean, the BBC was always the voice of reason. You know, it was always, that was exactly, you know, you knew in your soul that they would never tell a lie. Well, and now look at it.
Well, you don't... You might have believed that, but you never knew that. Now there is so much out there, and everybody who doesn't like a story says, well, that's just fake news, that's a lie. Whether it is or not,
isn't that the crux of the problem, though? Isn't that the crux of the problem within Brexit, within the election, within Trump, within even the North Korean thing and all the rest of it? You know, what on earth? How are we supposed to? And your background is all about the media.
That's right.
From your viewpoint, who do we listen to?
There is no one person you listen to unless you, and I've said this over and over again, the listeners have to grow up and realize that they can't just go on the internet and believe everything they read or everything somebody says just because they're on television. People have to be discriminating. If you really are interested in what's going on, it does take work. And this is one of the problems. Everybody now thinks, I get to have an opinion, and my opinion is this because I saw somebody on YouTube say this, and I think they're right. And people don't have the time. Most people don't, if you watch one newscast. But what people need to do is look at this one, look at that one, look at another one, and eventually decide who you really generally think, okay, I'm getting a pretty decent...
I think what's happening though is one of the things that was mentioned earlier on is quite simply that people, you know, with CNN or Fox or any of these, they lean one way or the other because they get all these ratings. Why do they get all these ratings? Because these people want to hear it. This is what I want to hear, so I'll listen to that one. It's the old I'm a mushroom. I won't say the rest of it. Kept in a cupboard in the dark and fed. Whatever,
yes, indeed.
You know.
But you, as a consumer of information, and that's what every person is. Yeah. If you consume only the information from one source, you are saying, I implicitly trust everything they say.
Yeah.
What a consumer needs to do is, okay, you watch CNN and you get one version of what went on. Go look at Fox, you will get another version, and none of it is all the 100%. Nobody perfectly knows what all the truth is on most anything. News media report what they know at the time. That may be, as far as they're concerned, as honestly and as much as they can.
If that was the case, then that's fair enough. If they are reporting as honestly and as much information that they have.
A lot of them do. And a lot of it is, but you do have to measure one against the other, because it has become, and this is in the past 5, 10 years, It's the Wild West. I mean, everybody puts stuff out there, and you've got, as a consumer, figure out who you are willing to trust.
Yeah. And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's Terry from Dillonway with Dilla Conception.
Good morning, Terry.
I think this fake news business, beyond what's put in newspapers and on television, etc., it's also what the authorities are feeding to these outlets. Quite honestly, the comments that come from the police in the UK these days is absolutely laughable. And they treat the public as though we're totally stupid. And, you know, if this is what's being fed to the newspapers and the newspapers add their little bit, how can you believe anything?
Nathan?
Well, you're exactly right. The media reports an awful lot of this is somebody from the government, from the police, from whatever. The media, all they're doing is putting the message out that they're giving you. Everybody's calling it fake news now. It used to be called propaganda. It used to be called public relations. In a nastier world in which we live on now it's called fake news. But anybody, whether it's the police department, they have a spin they want to put on whatever. Whether it is the government, they are selling their policies. If it is the opposition, they are selling their policies. And everybody blames the media simply because they are putting, okay, here's the labor person talking, and I don't like what they say, so blame the media. No.
Very quickly, one thing Terry said about, you know, the media or the authorities treating as the general population as if they're stupid. The one thing you do need to realise is individual people are incredibly intelligent. Crowds and groups of people and populations are not.
Exactly.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Stunned to hear Nathan finally admit that they might be a little bit malleable with the truth, the media. Well, I don't know if you've changed your tune completely or you're just trying to tell us what you keep on board of... to be honest with you here, I am stunned because the number one job, Nathan, of the media, and you keep telling us how long you've been in the media, the number one job of the media is to provide oversight, regardless. Now, as you just pointed out, they are now commercial entities, and it's all about clickbait. So they can make up what they want to get people to get involved to create more money.
Peter, could I stop you just one second? Just answer that point. Most media, and obviously some is government-sponsored media and whatever, but most media is and always has been commercial. Their bottom line is their reason for being is not oversight of anything. Their reason for being is to make money. It is a business. Most media traditionally over the years decided and realized that they do have a responsibility to their viewing, listening, reading public, and they try to, you know, they work very hard to be honest, and this is what we have learned from the government, from going here, seeing this, reporting that. That is what traditionally has been happening. It is changed.
But the trouble is, we have the oversight is coming from government. And the government are only telling us what they think we need to know. And the rest of them are involved in numbers, clickbait these days. Now, if it wasn't for Trump putting the microscope on this, most people wouldn't even be aware. They didn't know what fake news was. Now, you talk of CNN because it's the war with Trump and CNN. I said on this program, possibly maybe not even 6 weeks ago, that CNN would turn around. And I gave the reason why, because Time Warner and AT&T wanted to merge. Now, two of the biggest shareholders in AT&T, a recent shareholders meeting, because they own CNN, have just pulled up Jeff Zucker and told him to change. Now, if you'd have seen, I don't know if you see Sarah Huckabee's press conference the other day with the media, and she gave out the minutes that were dedicated to certain subjects. 1 minute for tax change. She went through a few of Trump's things. It got 1 minute here, two minutes here. I think the longest was 17 minutes. 373 minutes to anti-Trump. Now, we've also had undercover people going in now, filming producers of CNN, admitting they've got film of Zucker standing up, Jeff Bukes, the CEO, standing up and saying, forget the climate change a day or two after that, he pulled out of that, and get back on the Russian story. Now, CNN are a joke. So are Fox, and so are all the companies that are relying on income. Now, like I said, AT&T, Time Warner, trying to merge. The major shareholders, now they're asking for Jeff Zucker's head and Jeff Bukes' head. And in retaliation, they're going after Fox News now, coming out with these sexual slurs and that.
Right.
It's like EastEnders. It's a joke, the news. And the only news you supposedly get is government news that they only want to go back to last week. Nathan, you said, oh, they can't cover anything, a 10,000-man march. This week, you had a couple of hundred on an anti-austerity march, all over the news. So you can't tell me it is not fake news.
Peter, just a quick one, and I'm not, this isn't a pop. If CNN and Fox and everybody else are a joke, how are we supposed to get together our news then?
That's the point I've been trying to make, Giles,
yeah,
so long. And Nathan just said, oh, look at this and look at that and try to... We can't. We don't know what is the truth. We haven't known for quite some years. And that is the problem. People are searching for their own news now. I do it. I go on the internet and I'm so meticulous. I go, there's Snopes, there's Media Watch, there's... Media Watch is supposedly owned by Jeff Soros. You get... George Soros. You get all these so-called... fact checkers, and then another fact checker says that one's leaning left, this one's leaning right. I have found some sites, Snopes, whatever you want to put it. I was looking at that. But now I'm realizing even that there is nothing out there that I can find that genuinely I can say, do you know what, that is 100% true.
Thanks, Peter, I have a suggestion for you. Since every commercial media operation is a joke, stop paying attention to them.
All right, okay, fine.
So there is no news out there except what, and if you have 8 hours a day to comb through the internet and decide for yourself, excuse me, what is true and what is not true, wonderful. I think that is a marvelous thing. Most people don't have that time or that ability or that interest. But if you think commercial media is a joke, then just ignore it.
Have you ever heard of the Operation Mockingbird from the '50s?
You've got us on this one, Peter. I've got to go.
Governments even make programs. They give the money to producers and directors, the Hollywood elite, to make programs to make you think a certain way. It's social engineering. That's what it is.
Of course they do. They've always done that. It's called propaganda. It's called public relations.
You believe in social engineering then, do you? You think that the public should be made to think the way that the government think they should think rather than things should evolve naturally?
I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying that it exists. I agree it exists. It's always existed.
The trouble is that most of the world is just happy to plod on and live under a lie. And the trouble is that is all well and good. I wish I could be like that. But the problem is the lie will implode. And it implodes every 70, 80 years. And we're well over the book of that one. And the consequences are going to be horrific. And like the man on your panel said earlier, the reasons for his voting in Europe, it's a worry about your family. It's what's left behind for those poor buggers. And we can't trust governments, can't trust press, and it's just a load of sheep at the moment.
And you can't trust anybody.
Peter, thanks for your call in.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Listen to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's always lively program. A panel of invited guests joining me today: Mark Connor, Campbell Ferguson, Nathan Thomas. 952-784-4000. The phone number, studio@talkradioeurope.com, is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. It's to the Facebook page that we go. Richard has written, we were talking about Brexit a little bit earlier on. Richard has written in on the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official: the UK are totally clueless on Brexit. Every day that passes, I am more are optimistic that the Mother Teresa is going to fudge this and not leave it as at all, as it is totally pointless having a, quote, soft Brexit, unquote. What special relationship? A special relationship whereby the US asks the UK to jump and the UK obliges by replying, how high, leave it out. So there you go, some thoughts of Richard on the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. And we're talking about all things Twitter and Trump. Just want to see his latest tweets on the real Donald Trump. North Korea has just launched another missile. Does this guy have anything better to do with his life? Hard to believe that South Korea, and then a second tweet, and Japan will put up with this much longer. Perhaps China will put a heavy move on North Korea and end this nonsense once and for all. Your thoughts, perhaps, Nathan, on China putting a heavy move, quote unquote, on North Korea, and they do seem to, North Korea seems to be, shall we say, going ballistic recently?
A loose cannon. I mean, Trump has, when he met with the Chinese leader, I forget how many weeks ago, but a couple of weeks ago, I mean, one of the things he pushed for is for China to use more of the influence it does have over North Korea to bring them, you know, back under more control. How much China does, how much China can do, I don't know. China has its own concerns, and one of the concerns is being flooded with North Koreans leaving the country or something. But China may be doing whatever, South Korea and Japan. Yes, everybody is worried about this. The question is, who is going to do what? A lot of things are being tried. Nothing seems to work with this guy, or so far it hasn't. I mean, he is appearing now much more extreme than his father or his grandfather, and the family has run the country since it was created. The question is, what if anything is Donald Trump going to do? He's pushing now with a tweet like that. He wants South Korea and Japan and China to do something to bring him under control. Which, fine, anybody who can bring him under control, three cheers for them. But Donald Trump doesn't know what to do either. None of the countries do. Nobody wants to start a war with North Korea with the potential, you know, that they have for massive destruction. And of course, China, South Korea, and Japan are much more vulnerable to any of that than the United States or Europe or any place else in the world. So most people are just kind of standing back and saying, it's not my problem yet. And we just wait and see, because he keeps going and going and going. Now, whether he is actually ever going to do anything serious, because a lot of this is, you know, for the local audience, for his own people to make him as the most wonderful person, and we're standing up to all these evil countries, it's his propaganda.
That's very true. I watched, was it fake news? No, I don't think so. I watched a young lady on a documentary, two or three days ago, talking about her life in North Korea and what is actually happening on the ground there and the way the people are treated. And yes, it is almost like, well, it is brainwashing to an extent. You know, she was talking about people have been killed and taken away for the most inane nothing. But, you know, if they say something wrong about Kim, then that's it. We're not going to put you in prison. We're going to kill you. The big problem you have here with North Korea, China is probably the only country that can actually do something. But how far can they go without this maniac pressing a button? You know, and he is mad enough to do it because he thinks he's omnipotent. He thinks he is the top of the tree because he's been told that all his life as well. Donald Trump has a massive problem with this one. He has to be very, very careful. And I think this is one point where your social media, your tweets and all the rest of it will probably help a bit, because he can do and say things on there which will then get, oh, yeah, Donald Trump said this again. But it does get through to the people who need to listen to it without going through the diplomatic channels that he would normally have to use.
Campbell, always been rogue states out there, always been the people that used to be Libya, used to be the mad dog of international community. North Korea has always been there and thereabouts. Do you think it's just, you know, Trump kind of needs or has to be careful how he deals with North Korea?
Obviously, he does have to be careful because North Korea could get at the States just by attacking South Korea. And then that brings the US in as a supporter of South Korea. If they attack Japan, the US has got to be seen to be supporting its people. So that he's got to be careful he doesn't spark that off again, because it would be much worse than MASH or anything like that, which we all saw many, many years ago. So you just hope that if China was to cut things off, would the glorious leader then become a suicide bomber, effectively, and just say, well, to hell with everyone, I'm going to destroy the world and try and get rid of China, South Korea and Japan all at the one time, and as he knows he's a god, he will therefore survive it all. So it's you get ideas of greatness on those sort of things. The US also has got problems with China, of course, with the South China Sea and China's expansionist plans in there. So that everything is a mess, as in so many things in, I was about to say in life, but in the world, they're in constant flux. And you've got to walk very carefully with this sort of thing, and who knows how it's going to turn out. One doesn't.
We shall watch our Twitter feeds with interest. Yeah. Mark, you want to come in on a point there?
And I agree. It is walking on eggshells, but something has got to be done by somebody. It's going to have to happen.
It's so easy, and I'm not criticizing you, but everybody has to say things. Yes, somebody has to do something.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And nobody can figure out who or what.
Had this been the 1950s, then somebody would have, you know, somebody high up in government would have sent in somebody to, you know, the SAS to take them out, and that would have been the end of that. It's not, though, today.
That's right.
And unfortunately, and I will say it on air, unfortunately, that's not the case today.
Well, it's not possible. That's the problem. If something militarily starts,
it's going to be
very, very huge, and nobody, you know, it's not something that can be done quickly, and bang, it's over with.
Talking of bang, it's over with. Those bongos mean that we have come, bang, it's over, to the end of another Viewpoint. My thanks to my guest, Mark Connor.
Thank you very much. Happy Independence Day.
Campbell Ferguson.
Thank you, Giles. Enjoyed it.
And, of course, Nathan Thomas.
Thank you. Feeling very independent.
Indeed. We're off to have an Independence Day donut. Stephen Ritson, up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe SL.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.